talking about demons. What are the demons?
Voices.
Tell me about it. What are the voices about?
It's another voice, the evil side.
Yeah, whatever your name is, Satan.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Evil Examen podcast. We had our UFO trilogy that we just wrapped up, and then the strange death of Michael Hastings.
Yo.
I want to thank our guest, John the Aviator, again, for joining us for a full month on the Evil Examen podcast.
Of madness, right?
That's amazing, because Katie was on her period. Now
for a full month.
Now she's back. And we missed you, but I'm
it
glad
might be longer.
I'm glad basically. You stopped bleeding. But
it's like a UFC.
What did you say?
I keep bleeding.
Well, guys, listen. I want to give a shout out real quick. My new book, Dark Assembly, is available on Amazon in paperback, which I recommend the paperback because it does have over 20 illustrations, including a table of contents illustration by yours truly, Katie Burns. And then another 20 illustrations from the fella Anton, something in Russian is his last name, that did the cover. So go ahead and check it out. Dark Assembly. It's six stories. You can check out the social media. Some disturbing imagery and previews on there.
Looks like the sickest one yet. That's saying a lot.
I haven't read it yet. This is the first one. I haven't read everything yet.
Also, guys, you can get it on Kindle, too. And read it off your phone, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I downloaded the phone app after you showed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty dope. Like, you can actually even see color pictures in there.
Yeah.
Although I didn't really have much colored stuff towards the end, maybe. But yeah, check it out. It's relatively, and if you are interested and you see it and you can't afford it, hit us up on the social media. We'll see what we can do. What do you call it? Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of doing what we normally do with all these stories and things, you know, we just have to take a moment, you know, and really get into a deep discussion about, you know, everything that's going on in society. There's just so much stuff going on. Instead of doing what we do, giving you that escape, we're just going to have a real deep discussion about how horrible everyone is.
Yeah. We're going to sit you down and force you to listen like your parents.
We are.
Should have.
Psych. No, we're going to do the regular thing, right?
Yeah.
That would have sucked. Because, you know, if we kind of sat you down and...
It's not like you're being bombarded by the news and shit already.
But this is an escape, right?
We're just not the right ones to talk about things.
Yeah, we have trouble with being appropriate, mm-hmm. I feel like, at times. So, although the last month, if you'd have listened to it, it was a real business kind of podcast the last month.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know why, but it just felt very... Maybe because John the Aviator, he's real...
He's real professional.
He's, he's a air traffic controller.
Yeah.
But also, check out the website, www.evilexamen.com. We did put up a bunch of stuff from it, some of the UFO stuff, some of the Michael Hastings stuff, even stuff from the Fanatic. All that stuff's up there right now. So I've been continuously updating it. It's worth a look. It's worth a look. And remember to follow us on social media, too. We got the Facebook. We got the Instagram. We're on Twitter, but
Tweeter.
Most of this shit just goes through the other channels. But Gene, what do you got today on this extra evil episode?
This story today is about a disappearance, and not just any disappearance, one of the most famous ones. Although I never heard of it.
You never heard of this one?
No. I haven't heard a lot of stuff. I've been living under a rock.
No, but you like to save savory moments, too, for special spots, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet and saucy?
Yep. Well, this one's a little sweet and sour. Right?
Oh, no.
Because it's no happy ending.
Like curdled milk, would you say?
I never had what is curdled milk? Is it spoiled?
Oh, it's so gross. You've never had, like, spoiled milk.
Is it, like, solid milk?
Why, you've had it?
Chunky. Not on purpose.
I mean, I've seen it.
But so, like, curdled, a.k.a. spoiled?
Yeah, it's like all like lumpy and shit. But I use the milk reference, the sour milk reference, because...
Oh, because, yeah, in this story, it involves milk cartons.
Fucking milk cartons, bitches.
And a big purpose that it was used for in this story. But let's get into it, right? You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay. So this story is taking place back in 1982 in West Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, man. 82. I wish I could go back. Well,
Moines, Iowa. Sorry.
Wasn't born yet, but I'd still prefer to go back.
You weren't
just
born?
Not be born at that point.
At all?
In comparison to now, sure, I'll just go back. Not
like back in the future and shit? Just,
Yeah, yeah, but it's like going back to the future, and then when you
trip your dad down the stairs or something?
You get there, you're just gone.
Oh, shit.
Trip my dad down the stairs? So he said?
Yeah, that way you're gonna kick him in the nuts. But yeah, it's in Iowa.
Fuck you, dad.
That's what I'd probably do that. Stop just back kick in the future, kick him in the balls,
yeah,
real quick, really hard,
right? Oh, or just like flip my finger to where it goes real fast, and the fingernail catches the tip of his cock.
But that could backfire. What if you do that, and then you're still born, but you're like all slow and shit?
Oh, I just beat the sperm within his like he was ready to come when I hit him. Is that what happened?
Like, I don't know.
And I'll pass on that whole excursion.
I don't know how biology
My mom works. Listens to this show, man. Katie's having a meltdown over there. You baby on your period again?
So, yeah. Iowa, guys. A 12-year-old paperboy named Johnny Gosh.
Hold on. Didn't we not have a lot of difficulty figuring out how to pronounce his name?
Yeah, we have to look up some interviews, see how they pronounce it, because apparently the, was it Apple OS pronounced it wrong?
Goshi.
Goshi. Goat like, cheese.
Yeah. And the sad thing is I'd heard the name before. So it's like I should know it, but I'm just not confident enough in anything at this point.
Yeah, I feel the same.
I mean, we got a lot of people that are counting on us to deliver accurate information.
Yeah. Especially this case that takes place in 1982. But 12-year-old Johnny Gosh, every morning he would get up before sunrise to deliver the newspaper. And never once he delivered it late.
He's the best.
Never once?
Never once, dude. This guy was like a hero.
He's like the character in Paperboy, except Perfect Game.
They based it on him.
Yeah.
What is the cutoff for a paper being late? Like noon? Like how early do you have to get your paper by?
I don't know. I feel like they would get pissed, though, because people build routines. You know, they get their paper, they have their coffee, they go to work. If they don't have the paper, what the fuck?
You know what would suck? It's like if you always got up so early, like your job started so early that the paper boy would never be there. You would always be a day behind on the news. You're reading yesterday's paper today. And every conversation you have, they're just like, stop it with that. You know, that was yesterday. You know?
That's old news.
Yeah. You'd be a fucking asshole at the water cooler.
What if they, like, ruin his life? That'd be a cool story. Right? This guy just loses it. Anyways, yeah. He was never late. He was never late until the morning of September 5th.
Oh.
And his parents began receiving phone calls from neighbors asking what happened to their newspaper.
They don't give a fuck
about what happened to the kid. What happened to the fucking newspaper? That's when his parents realized something was horribly wrong. So John and Noreen Gosh desperately tried to alert the local police of their son's disappearance. The police apparently decided that since there was no note or demand for ransom, they should wait 72 hours before declaring him missing officially. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's ridiculously long amount of time because, like, people normally within 48 hours are dead if it's that situation.
Yeah. Right.
Well, how old is he?
12.
And I think for kids under 16, you know, that should fucking not be a thing. You know what I mean? Just because, like, I could maybe get it if it's, like, you know, drunk Uncle Louie or something, yeah, you know?
If you're where's an adult Louis? Already.
Well, he's in a fucking gutter with a bottle of Bacardi. You know what I mean? But
no kid has no business disappearing for fucking, what, 3 days?
Right. You can't. Yeah. You can't because you're supposed to be under the rule of the guardian, you know?
When exactly. You're 12, it's like, I feel like, I don't think I would have been able to stay away from my parents or, like, out of sight for 3 days when I was 12. Like, someone would have found me and brought me somewhere.
Right, know? And this is 82.
Yeah.
So, like, we were in the 90s during that.
So, I'm not sure if that was the standard, that you have to wait, or just these cops were, like, just assholes or oblivious. Yeah, they declared, they said 72 hours before declaring him missing, his father said, fuck that, and was searching for his son and found his delivery wagon filled with undelivered newspapers about a block and a half away from the house. So he didn't make it that far.
So did his dad finish the route?
I think he did not. Johnny's disappearance quickly made headlines across the country thanks to the efforts of his parents. And they, because they were frustrated with the sluggish response of the law enforcement, John and Noreen went on television and distributed over 10,000 posters with their son's picture on it. Johnny was even one of the first child to be plastered on the side of the milk carton, like we talked about earlier.
It's classic, the side of the milk carton.
Plastered.
Mm-hmm. Plastered, dude.
Plasterized?
Well,
he was plasterized.
But why? What do they do with the, you know, most of them are plastic now. So it's like you can't have missing people's face on them.
It's a little harder to print on plastic, I would assume, right? Unless they have it on the label. Like, you know how it wraps around the label?
Yeah.
Just have a missing kid right smack dab.
It's fun.
With the milk mustache.
I like to look for people, you know? I like Where's Waldo, things like that, so.
Yeah.
This sort of thing is intriguing. But I think they should actually just 3D print the fucking milk jugs and then, you know, make like 3D images swelling from the fucking girth of the milk cart, and then blind people can feel them too and be like, oh, you know.
Like Braille?
Yeah, like to you, you could see it. You could see the popped out design to a blind person just in case they feel a random person's face, you know, like in the movies. How sometimes they feel a random person's face.
That would be terrifying if you just look at milk cartons and they just are all faces of missing children, like, when you're walking like up the whole to the grocery store, screaming. Like inside a refrigerator. That's terrifying.
Like a bunch of, like the actual carton shaped like the skull,
yeah,
of
the skull kids. Of the missing child.
So just a whole bunch of skulls in the fucking fridge?
That's my thing, dude. I mean... It's controversial. I'm pushing forward with it, though.
I don't even like milk, but, I mean, what's sad to me, because besides just, like, missing children, that's fucking sad. But like knowing that every time I've looked at one of those pictures, I've thought to myself, oh, that's terrible. And I've read it and then immediately forgotten what the face looks like. So if I ever did encounter them, I probably wouldn't even recognize them even after like trying to make an effort to look at them. You know,
I get what you're saying. So the skull heads will make more of an impact in your head.
That's what I'm saying. You could like you'll
be traumatized and you'll be like, oh shit, I see his face everywhere now.
Like you're having sex with your lover. You know what I mean? That missing little boy.
You might be onto something.
Yeah, I'm trying to promote the message through trauma.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
He's traumatized. Why shouldn't you be?
Right. That's, right. That's people only thing. Care when it involves them too, right? But yeah, he was one of the first. And those cartons were released throughout the U.S. in effort to raise awareness for him and the other missing children around that time. But although the news also attracted some less than helpful folks as they took the opportunity to make cruel crank calls and false trails. Some assholes.
Always, dude. They're, the trolls existed even before the internet.
Right.
You know, that's back when you were a phone troll.
You think they were making fun of his name? They're like, oh my gosh, we found him. Like, and that's what they're calling to say.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
Like, because I feel like certain last names get mocked. Like my mom's old last name, Ball, you know?
Ball?
I bet you get more prank calls if your last name
if it was Balls. If it was Balls with an S, that's even more serious.
That's a death sentence.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You ever do any phone trolling in your day?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. What, you got a good one for me?
Not in particular, because around my time when I really started, we had like a little bit of technology. So we had soundboards. Oh. So we'd use like soundboards from like movies and like operate it while we're on the phone. So we'll have like Al Pacino like yell at someone and shit. You filthy fucking animal. Or some shit like that. And they'll be all confused. But nothing like really original.
Yeah. We had one that was like, I don't think it was me. I think it was somebody I was with. I can't remember. It might have been Gus. But we had a whole cassette full of, like, we made our own Jerky Boys cassette, kind of. And one of them was just, it was just like a perfect kind of thing. He was like, oh, we were just going through the phone book. And we're like, oh, Timothy Tate sounds like a fucking bitch. You know, like, let's call him up. Call him up. Hey, is Timothy Tate there? No, he actually, he moved. He's at a different location now. Can I take a message? And then he's like, yeah, tell him to go fuck himself. And then we hung up. This is like the fucking perfect one, you know? Yeah, tell him to go fuck himself.
Yeah, it's perfect when they fall into your plan, basically.
Right?
They laid out the red carpet.
She's so mean.
Yeah,
we have you done bad it? Ones.
What?
You never prank called anyone?
Yeah, I have.
What was yours?
There were a couple. I mean,
yeah.
When you're a girl, you kind of do it in a different way. You just like try to sound like you're an older girl when you're like younger. You're like, what are you wearing? Just shit like that, you know?
You little dirty. You're so dirty.
What are you wearing?
But yeah, they had some cruel crank calls, apparently. I didn't have any to draw from, though, unfortunately. But yeah, I can only imagine it's horrific for these parents to get called when they're waiting for like actual news.
Right. Like you call them up, this is Detective Lanza. You know?
That's fucked up.
Well, yeah.
We found Johnny's ball bag in his jeans.
That's what they got. They got false trails, too. Like, people were just leading them on.
He was playing hockey with Felipe.
That's your detective voice? Okay.
All right.
You like that?
He sounds creepy. I wouldn't trust him.
I wouldn't trust him either. Hopefully she didn't.
So, But luckily for the family, there seemed to be a lead early in the case when the private investigators hired by the Gosh found two witnesses who reported seeing their son talking to a man in an old blue Ford Fairmont the morning of his disappearance.
Talking to strangers. A blue Ford, probably a white rapist. Don't you think?
I wonder what they're talking about.
It's like your meme, right? The Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Old white rapist. for both of them, yeah.
The witnesses stated that they saw two men jump out and snatch him while holding him down in the back seat and disappearing. However, without a license plate to go by, the trail quickly ran cold. And 2 years later, another paperboy, Eugene Martin, went missing in Iowa. But police were never able to contact the two cases. No arrests or charges were ever made in the Gosh cases. But the mystery is far from over, guys.
Oh, shit.
So this is where it gets crazy. About 6 months later, after Johnny's kidnapping, a woman was approached by a young boy in the parking lot at a convenience store in Oklahoma screaming, "I'm Johnny Gosh!" He probably didn't sound like that. That's probably more scared. "I'm Johnny Gosh! I've been kidnapped!" But he was immediately pulled away by two men who grabbed him and were never seen again.
That's terrifying.
Psych!
Oh.
In 1997, 15 years after Johnny's disappearance, his mother, Noreen, awoke to a knock on her door at 2:30 a.m. Although the unexpected visitor pulled open his shirt to reveal a familiar birthmark on his chest, Noreen claimed that she recognized the visitor right away. The man was her now 27-year-old Johnny. According to Noreen, he was accompanied by another man who she'd never seen before. And although she spoke with her son for over an hour, Johnny would look over to the other person for approval every time to speak.
Submissive, huh?
That's crazy. 27 years. And he got abducted when he was 12. And can you imagine seeing someone after that long if they're your, mom? You know what I mean? Crazy.
The damage is irreparable at that point. And you could tell he's definitely been sexually abused if he's looking over.
Probably brainwashed.
Yeah.
The long missing boy supposedly told his mother he was still in danger and refused to disclose where he was living before vanishing again for good.
It's like, why? Stop. Why would you let him walk? Why would you let him walk out? You know,
as a mother, yeah, I'd have
called the fucking cops and been like, dude, we got a lot to talk about.
Well, it's not like they helped them. You know what I mean? First time,
72-hour. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
you still got to call them. Maybe they got better fucking 12 years later. I don't know. Apparently not in this day and age, but.
No.
I mean.
She should have lied to him. "Oh, do you guys want some lemonade?" And walk to the kitchen and call the cops real quick.
Right.
But yeah, he got away from her. Never saw him again.
I feel like whoever the person was that had captured them, clearly had such influence over them that. Even the parents, felt comfortable or enough to, you know what I mean?
I'm never comfortable with influence.
Right, but...
I'm also not a parent.
Apparently.
You know what I'm saying, though? But if I was a parent, I don't think I'd be comfortable. No amount of influence would make me comfortable.
But no, I mean, if the kid's oh, yeah, I'm fine. If he's saying that he is or something like that. I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah.
Well,
it's all weird.
It seems like he said he told her, "I'm still in danger, so I can't tell you anything."
Oh.
Yeah. So, we're in danger. He probably thought the guy was going to, fucking shoot his mom if he like.
Yeah, that is weird. Maybe they were like watching her or something.
But if he was going to shoot his mom, why would they go there in the first place?
Maybe he if did he's him a favor. He's like, you can see your mom, but you better not try nothing.
I'll shoot you in the butthole.
I'll shoot both of you in the head. Or
you know. Think so?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I think that's unlikely. I mean, sure, it's maybe like a 10% chance, maybe.
You would think it's a huge risk for the
if the guy's a the murderer, captor. Yeah, like and like mm-hmm. he's gonna roll the dice, you know.
But Noreen, after they left, went to the FBI and had them create a sketch of her now adult son. But the lack of evidence besides her own word of mouth led to authorities to doubt that Johnny was still alive. Pour that salt on that wound.
Yeah, she just made it up 15 years after the fact.
Oh. So dumb. Noreen firmly believed that Johnny was abducted as part of a child sex ring and that the investigation was hampered because of the big names involved in the scheme. The authorities have not denied that this theory is impossible, but the police said that they have no evidence to suggest that Johnny was swept into a pedophile ring. Noreen and her husband never gave up hope that their missing son was alive, once stating in an interview, "We lived without Johnny for a long time now. It's not new to us, but it still hurts." Noreen Gosh was often dismissed as a grieving mother, driven to outlandish conclusions and stories after the disappearance of her son. However, she and her husband certainly helped ensure that missing child cases were handled with greater urgency. In 1984, Iowa passed the Johnny Gosch Bill, which required police to investigate missing child cases immediately rather than wait 72 hours as they had in Gosch's cases originally. So they made some changes there. Some good came from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They used that common sense.
Yeah.
Did you ever like see videos of the mom? I feel like I have, and she seemed kind of a little out there.
I feel like I have, but I don't really remember.
Because there, a lot of this is covered. There was an A&E. I don't know if it was A&E. Whatever. It was a cable company that was going to put out this documentary called Conspiracy of Silence, and it got killed before it ever made it to air. But you can watch Conspiracy of Silence on YouTube, and it goes into a lot of the details that you're going over right now, like the part where the mom's discussing the people showing up and the sex ring. It deep dives into the sex ring stuff. So maybe we'll put that on the website as a companion to this, in case you haven't got enough of this.
I don't see why people are doubting her either, because he wasn't the only kid that was like taken away. No bodies found.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you would think 15 years later they'll find something.
Right. Like, if they were dead. Is she just going to say it just for the hell of it? Like, it doesn't really make sense, you know?
Unless they're covering something up. Big players are involved. So, they had a great victory there, I guess. They don't have their son back, but they made a change in the law. So it stops shit like this from potentially happening with them waiting 72 hours. In August 1984, Noreen Gosch testified in the Senate hearings on organized crime, speaking about organized pedophilia and its alleged role in her son's abduction. But soon after, she began receiving death threats that did not step...
Well, she's getting prank calls, death threats. Like, people just keep fucking with this lady.
Right.
Like, it's weird, because
if you're combating, like, pedophilia, and people are giving you death threats, who the hell are these sickles?
The pedos, I guess, right? Or some of them is just the trolls, probably. Like, remember, like, with Sandy Hook, a lot of that happened, too. Like, maybe it was people that didn't believe it actually happened or that she was trying to take advantage of the media, you know? Like,
yeah,
some people maybe cooked up their own conspiracy theories and started talking shit.
Yeah, maybe they thought she was trying to get quick cash.
It's one thing to believe something, but to like actually try and reach out and interject yourself into someone's life, you have to be a fucking real big loser yourself, you know?
Yeah, nothing better to do.
You have nothing going on. Nothing.
Like someone that's writing death threats to a woman who they don't believe her child was missing, or like that's inexcusable to me. Like there has to be something wrong with those people. Like they're probably mentally ill, and have some complex, like, and need to seek help, because there's no reason to do that. There's no good reason to do that.
The only reason being it would impact their way of life if they're fucking pedos.
Yeah. I'd say we just label you pedo by default. Nameless person.
But she's a strong woman. That did not stop or deter her. Gosch also testified before the U.S. Department of Justice, which provided $10 million to establish the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Gosch was invited to the White House by President Ronald Reagan for the dedicated ceremony. So, that's nuts. And in 1989, I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
But 21-year-old Paul Bonacci told his attorney John DeCamp that he had been abducted into a sex ring with Gosch as a teenager and was forced to participate in Gosch's kidnapping. So, yeah,
some Epstein level shit right there. When you take the people and make them get other people too.
Yeah,
yeah. Did you watch any of that Netflix Epstein thing?
No, I haven't yet.
That's exactly, it really dives deep into that, like in the Florida area, how he was grooming like girls that wouldn't fuck him to become the ones that did his bidding instead.
Mm-hmm.
And like he would just pay them off to bring other girls.
It's like sex trafficking and drug dealing are pyramid schemes.
He just didn't care either. Like, it's like, yeah, just bring anyone. I'll try and fuck them. They'll probably, you know, feel uncomfortable and just let me fuck them. And then I'll give them $200 and whatever happens, happens. That's basically what it was. And it was like from one girl that's in the show, it's like it branches off into like 30 other girls. And then from those girls, some of them would become this. It seems like there could have been potentially hundreds of girls is the way they made it seem.
Yeah. But with girls, it's just girls ask other girls and they're like, hey, you can make some money. But with guys, they just kidnap them when they're doing their paper routes, yeah. I guess, apparently.
Yeah. It's crazy. The American way.
So John DeCamp met with Paul and believed he was telling the truth. Noreen Letter met with John and said he told her things that he could only know from talking with her son. He said that Johnny had a birthmark on his chest, a scar on his tongue, and a burn scar on his lower leg. Although a description of the birthmark had been widely circulated at that point. But the scars had not been made public.
He knows a lot about the inside of his mouth, though. That's kind of concerning.
That's weird. And his lower thigh area, I guess.
I don't think I've ever seen your thigh.
No. You know?
Not even once.
We'll keep it that way, too.
And we've been friends for a while, you know? Like, let me see that thigh.
There's levels to this. He also described a stammer that Johnny had when he was upset. So I guess the stammer is a stutter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, right? Did I do it all right?
The stammer?
Does someone have a better one?
No.
I said.
Ricky!
The FBI and the local police did not believe that he was a credible witness in the case and have not interviewed him. But he accused the Republican Party activist and businessman Lawrence E. King Jr., who also served as the director of the Franklin Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska, of running an underage prostitution ring and victimized them since an early age.
So they run a bank and this, is that what it was?
Yeah, the credit union and underage prostitution ring.
He's like, you could open a checking account and get your dick sucked by that little boy in the same day.
Like, is that on the business card?
Now, I believe this is also in the Conspiracy of Silence documentary.
Yeah.
They go into, was it King, you said?
Yeah, Lawrence E. King Jr.
They go into his, they get all up in his ass on that documentary. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you are trying to fucking funnel money and, like, you know, structure your, like, clean it out or launder it, you know what I mean? If it's from an illegal sex trafficking ring, who better to have than a president of a bank?
A bank, yeah.
Right? Damn. Well, we're supposed to flag this deposit amount. Oh, that's okay. Here, get head from this child.
And unsurprisingly...
this is disgusting.
In 1990, a county grand jury...
What'd you say, dude?
Country? In 1990, a county grand jury declined to charge him, finding the allegations to be a carefully crafted hoax.
Hmm.
But Paul and Alicia Owen were indicted on state perjury charges.
So the people who testified on behalf of the victims, right? They were the ones that got locked up.
Labeled liars. Ain't that some shit? That's another thing with the Epstein case. All the girls got labeled as prostitutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, like, this is like older Epstein shit.
It's like patterns that you can start to see, like, in, yeah, it's weird.
It's crazy because, like, Gene, you and me were talking about this the other day. Like, people act like some sort of, like, sex conspiracy years ago. You know, like, if you just go back just a couple years, mm-hmm. people were acting like, oh, you're fucking nuts if you believe something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. There's no way our politicians could be involved in something like that. You're insane. And then NXIVM, right? The sex cult with the girl from Smallville, right?
Yeah.
They're fucking blackmailing people, human trafficking. And then you have this Epstein. Like, dude, these are not isolated incidents. And then just coincidentally, Epstein ends up dead. The footage is missing. The guard falls asleep. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, come on, dude. Are we really that fucking stupid?
No one pushes
stupid?
It either. They're like,
oh. No, they don't push it.
Yeah.
First, they were saying, there's no way this can be true. This is a conspiracy theory. Then he's dead, and you're like, well, you know, it was true. What about his death? You know what I mean? And, oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory now, too. No, dude. Some things are just not.
The truth becomes a conspiracy theory. That's why they call people truthers.
Right.
The stupidest thing.
It is dumb. Yeah, I think Ron Paul said that. He was like, how disgusting is it that it has become a negative thing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's...
To tell the truth.
You don't associate... Like, truther has a negative connotation to it. And it's like, why would you pick that word? If anything, you say there's a bullshitter or something, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Truther. Well, the truth is uncomfortable. I guess people don't like hearing what's actually going on around or happening. Yeah, so this piece of shit got away with it. And the two people that spoke out
were... You should fucking tweet this to the Me Too. Get them on this shit.
Right.
A Me Too cold case. What do you say? You know?
But yeah, the federal grand jury also declined to indict anyone for child prostitution, but did return indictments against Owen for perjury and King for fraud related to the credit union. The latter was accused of looting $40 million from the bank.
What the
fuck? And was sentenced to 15 years in prison.
So they did find him that he was guilty.
Yeah, but everything else
but
is
not
a,
on not on
not
the sex
of
shit.
The sex stuff.
Not the sex stuff.
He like made... Got a deal to only be the financial thing, or
they only care when money's involved.
Interesting.
So anything else was a carefully placed hoax.
Is Johnny Gosch still alive then, maybe? It sounds like, right?
That the last time he was seen was when he showed up years later at his mom's house with that weird guy.
Yeah.
But nothing since then.
My understanding just from like movies or whatever is that sometimes it, people get like injected with heroin or whatever if they're used in part of these rings.
Oh, yeah. Get them like, addicted to drugs.
Yeah, so then they become dependent. And also, like, they're always in a daze.
What?
They're always in a daze and stuff. So they don't know. And, you know, if they go to speak out about it, they're like, oh, look at this crackhead, you know?
Easy, right. Easy to control and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you give them a drug that's literally going to make them sick if they don't get more of it. Mm-hmm. They're already completely dependent on you. How are they going to detach themselves? You know? If you watch the new Rambo, spoiler alert, you know, there's repercussions for these things, people.
You got murked by Rambo.
You get your fucking head cut off.
But yeah, afterwards, the bank was shut down in November 1988 when it was raided by the FBI, the IRS, and the NCUA.
Did they all do it at the same time? That would be hilarious. Awesome. Just dudes in suit and ties with suitcases. Yo, let's see this shit.
After you. No. After you.
What if they like were like holding each other up like...
Put the gun down. It's like a triangle, of Russian roulette.
King was released in from prison in April 2001. On February 27, 1999, the U.S. District Court of the District of Nebraska awarded Paul $1 million in compensatory damages.
Yep.
And punitive damages. Paul sued King, who failed to respond to the civil lawsuit. Thus, a default judgment was entered against King, who ceased his appeal attempt in the early 2000s. So, despite the important legislative changes and tremendous media campaign, and besides his new newspaper wagon, no trace of Gosch was ever found since. So, yeah.
But it sounded like they sued the shit out of King.
King got sued.
Hopefully he got raped in prison, too.
It sounds like he probably went to the white collar 15 years jail. In prison. I mean, for financial crimes and stuff, don't they put you in different places? Or is that just
isn't that a nice jail?
Maybe. Maybe one of the guards was a real son of a bitch and raped him.
That's possible.
That'd be cool, huh?
Maybe it was like an ex-janitor that used to work at his bank and shit. He treated him like shit. And then He got fired and became a correctional officer.
Right. Just got all tattooed. That'd be great.
How the tables have turned.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you guys think of that?
It's pretty sad. This is one of the more popular cases ever. I'm glad we got to talk about it because we haven't really talked about it yet. But it's definitely a sad one. You know, you think about he's still missing, even though he had that brief resurgence and... Obviously, his childhood was stolen from him, and sounds like white slavery, essentially.
Yeah.
He was slaved out by these pedophilia cults or whatever.
That's the biggest mystery. Like, who are these people? And why did he even show up?
It's fucking nuts, dude. Yeah. What do you think, Katie?
I just, like, keep thinking for the mom, like, if it's like worse or better that he came back later, like that whole never knowing and not having closure and then having kind of like a glimmer of weird hope and it being taken away again. Like that sounds
devastating. And it's not even a piece. It's not like, oh, he's alive and safe. No, he's alive and apparently in danger.
Yeah. It's
so that's even more torture, I guess.
Yeah.
The world's a fucked up place. It's what we can say pretty much after every episode of this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. But next week,
Yeah, you're not done with odd disappearances, are you?
Yeah, you guys thought this was it. This was more of a traditional case of disappearance. Next week, though, it's going to be more sci-fi, supernatural, maybe.
Oh, shit.
All right.
We're getting untraditional on your ass next week.
You ready for that? I hope you're ready.
Also, want to give a quick shout-out to Jim, who runs the One-Legged Reviews horror website. Very cool stuff on there. We don't usually do much advertising on the show, but we figure we want to give a shout-out. He did pick up a copy of the Dark Assembly book, and he's going to be doing a review on it, so that's pretty exciting. Want to thank him for that. I checked out the site. He does some cool stuff. He does, like, unboxings of different horror products from different companies and write-ups on all different. It mostly looks like indie horror, which is cool, you know, like lesser-known stuff. So if you guys want to see some cool stuff, check out, you know, One-Legged Reviews. It's really cool. And if you go to Evil Examine, we'll put a link for the website so you guys can check it out there too.
Sweet.
I guess that's it for this week. And we shall see you next week for a strange sci-fi disappearance. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, pretty much.
I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, whatever your name is, hey.
Or anybody else was in there against their will.